Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mark Ben Madness on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini, the man. I'm Mark Heffernan, MMM, and my email site is sportswrapnet@yahoo.com, or I have another one, markheff20@gmail.com. Hopefully you enjoyed the football games that were being played yesterday and last night, and the game that will take place about right now between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, Russell Wilson returning to Seattle to do damage to his former team that he led to a Super Bowl and two Super Bowl appearances. Seattle over the years has gotten rid of, you know, some of their top players from those days, have retired, they've been traded, released, things like that. So it's a new era for the Seattle Seahawks, but do their fans really like that? Their fans are used to winning football, you know, the 12th man situation. So it'll be very interesting there tonight. My daughter and her husband love the Seahawks. They both went to the University of Oregon, and my son-in-law is a big Seahawks fan, so he can't stand the Rams. And you know why? Because the Rams always beat the Seahawks, so they were kind of a thorn in the side for Russell Wilson. But in the other case, the Rams have trouble beating San Francisco. Okay, I saw their game yesterday, a little bit about that in a moment. The Niners didn't look too good. The top five teams in the state of California as far as football is concerned, number one is modern-day Santa Ana at 4-0. Number two, St. John Bosco, Bellflower at 3-0. Centennial Corona is number three at 3-1. Long Beach Poly at 4-0, kind of getting back into the mix, Poly. And then number five, Mission Viejo at 3-1. Major League Baseball, the Yanks lead the AL East with a record of 85-56. The Tampa Bay Rays are 78-60. The Yankees beat them 2 out of 3 and clobbered them in back-to-back games. What was it, 10-2 and 10-4, something like that? So they got their offense in gear, so they have something more than Aaron Judge in those games. Torres had 2 home runs in one game. And Stanton has come back, and he had home runs in back-to-back encounters for the Yankees. Rays are 5.5 back. The Jays are 6 back. Toronto is 78-61, only half game behind Tampa Bay. AL Central, Guardians holding tight, 73-65, have a great manager, of course, Terry Francona. White Sox at 72-69, 2.5 back. AL West, the Astros have had this division for a long time. Houston at 90-50, with the second-best record in baseball. And then the Mariners, 79-61, 11 back. National League East, the Mets, 89-52, having a fantastic year. The Braves, a game and a half behind them at 87-53. Won the loss column, they have two less wins than New York. In Philadelphia, at 78-62, the Phillies at 10.5 games back. In the National League Central, well, the Cards are 83-58. They've had a fine second half. The Brewers at 75-66, 8 games behind. And the National League West, the Dodgers at 96-43, beating the Padres 2 out of 3. The Pods at 77-64, 20 games back of the Dodgers. Repeat, 20 games back of the Dodgers. My question, what's it like to be a Padres fan when the Dodgers kick your butts every year? Was it the last 5 or 6 seasons? And the fact is, no matter how much the Padres talk, how many players they get, they sign, you know, free agency or trade for, it still doesn't make any difference. What's your thoughts about that? 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. What was the score yesterday? 11-2. Justin Turner, I thought everybody said he was through. 2 home runs yesterday, won a grand slam. He's had a great second half. And the Dodgers won big the day before. So, nevertheless, the Padres won game one. Machado was upset because Doc Dave Roberts walked him in extra innings with a runner at second. Why would you pitch to Manny Machado? He's the best hitter on their team and still one of the best hitters in baseball. You walk and put him at first base. You have a runner at second. You're setting up for a double play for the Dodgers. Unfortunately for them, Cronenworth had a single to right field, and the Padres won that game. The Dodgers are not a great team in extra innings. They're about 14-13 this year. Okay, Gary from Del Mar. Chargers, baby, smoked the Raiders. That was a good game. I saw it. Excellent game by Herbert. I'll talk about that in a moment. Steve Corrales, Oregon. Big UCLA grad will be 3-0 after this week. Okay. And from Huntington Beach, I went to see my Padres get beat by your Dodgers, Mark. Congratulations. Thank you very much, Ann. And, you know, the Padres won a game there, and they're fighting for that playoff spot. Cabby, let's talk. Rams, they suck. Okay. Well, you know, Cabby, aren't you a Niners fan? How did they look in Chicago? Now, people were talking about it on the air as if it was a monsoon the entire game. I watched most of that game. The rain started coming down really hard in the fourth quarter, especially in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. It didn't affect the game the first three quarters or three quarters and a third. So let's get it right, analysts on TV. They get paid a lot of money. The monsoon did not create problems for either team over the first three and a half quarters. It rained very lightly, and then it came down like cats and dogs, big-time cats and dogs, in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it affected the passing of both quarterbacks, Fields and Lance. But the fact is, I think the Chicago Bears won the game more, ran the ball very effectively. They were the better team yesterday. As far as the Niners, they struggled. They struggled in that game. I was surprised I picked them to win. Okay, we talked about baseball for a while. We have a guy coming up that was in Major League Baseball for 8 years. We will talk further about baseball with him. Congratulations to the third seed, Carlos Alcaraz Garcia from Spain, as he wins his first U.S. Open title at the age of 19, by the way. 6-4, 2-6, 7-6 in the tiebreaker, and 6-3 over Casper Ruud, number 5 seed from Norway. You know, the whole key to this match was the fact that Carlos won the tiebreaker. That was the first tiebreaker he won in the entire U.S. Open. I saw him play three or four matches, and in one match, he got beat back-to-back tiebreakers, but still won. I mean, the guy's amazing. Both these guys are amazing. Their speed on the court is just super, but he's got a lot of pizzazz, that dude. He is an incredible player, and hopefully he stays healthy. He's going to be just something on the tour at 19. Great confidence, has that pizzazz. Just tremendous shots by both those guys. I mean, crossovers that were just totally amazing, both with solid serves. They both attacked the net. Tremendous volley game, you name it. So congratulations to Carlos Alcaraz Garcia from Spain, a four-set winner over Casper Ruud at the U.S. Open. Okay. Big game happening this week. Fresno State at USC. USC 2-0, won big against Stanford, 41-28 the other day. I thought they were a little soft late in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I just say that to antagonize the USC fans because I love UCLA. Fresno State 1-1, lost to Oregon State 35-32 at home. Oregon State scored on the last play of the game. Wow. Painter, quarterback for Fresno State this year, 65-87, 737 yards, 3 touchdowns. Caleb Williams for USC at 39-49, 590 yards, 6 touchdowns. He has been marvelous this year. Well, the Bills beat the Rams last Thursday. I didn't really appreciate that. I was actually doing football, so missed the second half. I'm glad that I did. Josh Allen, who is from the Central Section, not far away from where I live. He's from Fireball, California. He had a tremendous game. He's an outstanding athlete, great quarterback. 26-31, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Stafford of the Rams didn't look too good. 29-41, 240 yards, a touchdown, 3 interceptions. One was a tip job over the head of Cooper Kupp, who had 13 receptions for 120 yards and a touchdown. The Rams look bad against a team that is outstanding, solid on both sides of the ball. That doesn't guarantee the Buffalo the Super Bowl if everybody is guaranteeing. One game out of 17 regular season, then you have the playoffs. A lot of top-notch quarterbacks in the AFC, anything can happen. And, of course, the top players for Buffalo, the Rams, and most of the teams, top players have to be healthy throughout the course of the year, especially in the playoffs. But excellent performance by Buffalo, probably the worst game the Rams have played at SoFi Stadium. But kudos to the Buffalo Bills, who looked great on Thursday. Diggs, 8 receptions, 120 yards, and a touchdown for Buffalo. Sunday was the Bears 19 and Niners 10. Chiefs 44, Arizona 21. Mahomes, they look fantastic. 30 completions, 39 attempts, 360 yards, 5 touchdowns. And then Kyle Murray for Arizona, 22 of 34, 193 yards and a couple of scores. Chiefs 44, Arizona 21. The Chiefs are hungry. They are back. Kelce, 8 receptions, 121 yards and a score for the Chiefs. Chargers 24, Raiders 19. Pretty good ball game. Herbert, he was fantastic. The guy from Oregon, 26 of 34, 279 yards. He's had 14 games in his young career of 300 yards passing or more. 14 games already in his career, 3 touchdowns in the game. Derek Carr, I thought he struggled, 22 of 37. He had 295 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and 3 interceptions, plus he fumbled the ball. So he came away with 4 turnovers in that game for Derek Carr. Not too good. The Vikings, 23, Packers 7. Aaron Rodgers, not a good game for him. 22 of 34, can't blame it on your young receivers. 195 yards, 1 interception, hey, no touchdowns at all. Vikings, Kirk Cousins makes a lot of money, 23 of 32, 277 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Jefferson had 9 receptions for 184 yards and a couple of scores for Minnesota. Steelers, 23, Bengals, 20. Mancini's team, Trubisky, 194 yards and a score. Love that play where he rolls to his left, gets away from the rush, throws across his body about 30 yards downfield. Big play would set up their game-winning field goal. Burrow had uncharacteristic bad game for him. He wasn't Joel Cool. He wasn't unflappable like I texted Mancini that he was. 338 yards, couple of scores, but four interceptions. Four, count them. One, two, three, four interceptions, and a lost fumble late in the game. It was not Joel Cool yesterday. Five turnovers. Five. Too much. Saints 27, Falcons 26. Winston coming back, 269 yards and a couple of scores. And Mariota, 215 yards for the Falcons. They kind of wilt in the second half. They play the Rams this week. We have anybody else? See Steve, Derek, and Del Mar, Chargers, Bay. Okay, we know about them beating the Raiders. Now, that's a great rivalry, the Raiders and the Chargers. That would go on. You know, one time, of course, the Chargers were in San Diego. The Raiders were in Oakland. Then they were in L.A. So when the Raiders were in L.A., a very close rivalry. You have San Diego, L.A. Now it's Las Vegas and L.A., but still it's a great rivalry. Some of the other games, Eagles, 38, Lions 35. We had the Dolphins 20, the Patriots 7. Good performance by Miami. Washington 28, Mancini likes that team. Jacksonville 22. That was a game that went down to the wire. Giants 21 and the Titans 20. That's somewhat of a surprise. Prescott for Dallas had an injury trying to throw a pass yesterday late in the game, and he's going to have hand surgery, Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, waiting on Kevin to join our program. I'm going to go with some stats of some of these Dodger players, and who do you think is the most valuable Dodger? Freddie Freeman, 19 home runs, 90 RBIs, 103 runs, a .331 average, on-base percentage at .403, and an excellent first baseman, even when he made an error the other day. He's very smooth in everything that he does. Trey Turner, of 20 home runs, 96 RBIs, 91 scored, OBP is .351, and his batting average at .306. And Mookie Betts, 33 home runs this year, 74 RBIs, 109 runs scored, OBP at .350. He's batting .278. Who's the most valuable of these players? Of course, Mookie plays the outfield. He's a great fielder, great arm. Trey Turner, I think, is a good shortstop, not a great shortstop. Trey and Mookie have incredible speed, very good base runners. I'm not sure who's better in the bases. They're very tight. Freddie has a 6'4", so he's running faster than he looks. He's a very good base runner, by the way, Freddie Freeman. Doesn't have a lot of speed, but he gets from point A to point B. The Dodgers have a lot of speed on their team. You look at Chris Taylor, CT, who homered yesterday. Shaved off his beard, by the way. But I have to shave my semi-beard right now. It doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. Also, Gavin Lux, who's supposed to return for the Dodgers against Arizona, he's going to have some kind of a neck problem. He has fantastic. Here we go. Markman Manager of Block Talk Radio, 347-205-9631 is our number, 347-205-9631. Okay, play 8 years in Major League. He is Kevin Metz. Welcome to Markman Madness. How are you?
Yes, sir.
How's it going, Kevin? Hello, Kevin. Can you hear me? Well, I said yes, sir. Yeah, I guess it sounded like he was in a wind tunnel. What kind of a wind tunnel was that? Is there like a tornado nearby, or he's just in a wind tunnel? Or the wind is blowing very... Are you there, Kevin?
Yes, sir. Can you guys hear me? Sorry about that.
Yeah, I can hear you. Kevin, you played for the Texas Rangers, Milwaukee Brewers, Toronto Blue Jays, and Washington Nationals in your Major League career, which spans 8 years, 6 feet, 215. Tell me about your Major League Baseball experience. What was fun about being a major leaguer?
I mean, that's what you dream about as a kid. You know, everybody that plays Little League Baseball from the time you're 5, 6 years old, you know, you collect baseball cards, you go to games, and, you know, you see these guys and you think maybe one day, you know, that's what everybody wants to do. Everybody asks when you're a kid, what do you want to do? And, you know, having older brothers that played baseball, I wanted to be like they did, you know, be better than they were. And on top of that, you know, you want to play Major League Baseball. And I was fortunate enough to have been able, one of the, 17, 18,000 players to play at that level.
You went to St. Mark's High School, which is a great name, by the way, for a high school, and then the University of Delaware, the Fighting Blue Hens. Now, what is a Fighting Blue Hen? Do they fight all the time?
Actually, it was a Civil War brigade, actually, that they created way back when. That's how it is. You know, it's a, you know, a blue hen, a hen's a female chicken. So, I mean.
Okay.
That
Well, I know since 2009 you played for the Nippon Professional Baseball with the Hanshin Tigers. That was 2009. Yep. What was that experience like?
Have you ever seen Mr. Baseball?
Yes. Tom,
it's exactly
yes.
like the movie. The Tom Selleck
okay.
movie. It's exactly like the movie.
Yes. He did a pretty good job in that movie. So is it with a case where each team had to have at least one American, one player from America?
I think they were allowed four foreign players
uh-huh.
on their main club. I think it was four.
What was the difference between playing at that level and the major leagues?
And, you know, you've got to learn a whole new system. You've got to learn a whole new arsenal of pitchers. You know, strike zones are different. That's the biggest thing. It's just making that adjustment. Plus, you're flying halfway around the world to do something you've never even been a part of and trying to take it all in. And it's a lot to take in all at once.
Was the strike zone smaller in that league?
They give you more on the inside, on the inner half than they do the outer half. So if you notice,
uh-huh.
a lot of the pitchers struggle when they first get over here, the Japanese pitchers, because they're so used to getting the balls in off the plate as opposed to the ones that are white.
As a hitter, did that benefit you, or was that a disadvantage for you?
Six of one, half dozen of the other, really. It's just one of those things you've got to get used to. You know, your entire system of playing was, you know, in and out. You know, you didn't get more one way than you would the other playing
mm-hmm.
professional baseball here. Over there, you know, you would. I wasn't there, you know, long enough to actually see how pitchers were, you know, really handled. You know, sometimes umpires – you know, or over here a little bit more lenient with veteran pitchers and a younger batter. So I wasn't there long enough to see how they would actually do that with a, mm. you know, a younger batter, not a rookie batter as opposed to a guy who's been there.
Did teams there kind of accentuate the small ball approach to baseball, you know, moving runners, hitting behind the runners, things like that?
It was just there. That's the kind of baseball I'm used to, National League baseball, right? You don't see that anymore, especially even if it's a major league. I mean, batting averages are – the Mendoza line is going to be the gold standard for hitting here in the next 5 years, the way it's set up. You know, you don't see that. You don't see the bunts. You don't see any of that stuff. You see it over there a lot more than you do here. But, you know, that's exciting stuff. Right? That's what people want to see. They don't want to see this. Either you can't hit an 8-run homer, but guys are trying to.
Well, let me ask you, they're not going to have the shift next year in Major League Baseball among some of the rules, and the bases are going to be larger next year, especially protecting first baseman when somebody's running from home plate to first, and there's a wild throw, you know, down the first base line. And, of course, they're going to give a pitch count to the pitchers. I guess with nobody on base, you get, what is it? Is it 15 seconds with nobody on base and 20 seconds with somebody on base, something like that? But since they won't have a shift next year, have to be two infielders to the left of second base and to the right of second base. Infielders cannot be standing in the outfield grass on defense starting next year. So will that help batting average of major league hitters in 2023?
No, because most of them are trying to lift the ball anyway. They don't – it's – I've never been, you know, these rules that are changing. You know, people want to whine and complain about the shift. Learn to hit the ball the other way. Learn to use the whole field. You know, there's guys that were just surgeons with the bat that could just, all right, you're going to move over here, I'm going to hit it this way, right? I'm going to move here, I'm going to hit it this way. No, now it's, well, I can't, it's just, I think this whole generation, I can't win, so I got to whine and complain and get the rules changed so then I can maybe benefit. But no, all you're going to see is the batting average continue to plummet, for one, way these guys are being taught to hit, and, you know, and careers are going to be shorter because of it.
One player that the shift doesn't seem to bother, he's been really hot recently. Of course, he's been great throughout his entire career, is Freddie Freeman of the Dodgers, you know, the first baseman. He's hitting over 330.
Yep.
He's been on a tear recently. And as you know, hits the ball to all fields, has that beautiful swing. And he's a student of the game, obviously, has a great baseball IQ. And I think for him, it doesn't really bother a guy like him because he's a great hitter and he sees the entire field and he does that. A player that it's really bothered, of course, he wasn't very good last year. He's hitting 160 with Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers. He's right now at 200. And here's the guy who was the MVP at one time, hit 305 with 47 home runs and about 120 RBIs 3 years ago. And, of course, the 2020 season was short. He didn't do well then. It's just like, and I'm a Dodger fan, but he's a guy that, to me, has refused to adjust. Now, I'm sure some of the hitting coaches have talked to him. And it seems like he may adjust for two or three games here and there, and he's right back at again. He jacks one out of the park, and, hey, that's good. I hit a home run every 10 games, and I'm good. I'm hitting 200 right now with 17 home runs and maybe about 58 RBIs. And I know he's going to want a new contract after this year. He's making $17 million at the point, and I'm not sure the Dodgers really want to re-sign him because he's probably going to ask for 24 or 25. He doesn't really worry about his average. His agent worries about the fact he's hitting some home runs, but I don't think 17 home runs is that many home runs in today's day and age, 2022. When you see Judge has 55, what is 17? A lot of guys at 17 to 20 now, and they're not really even power hitters. Now, he's a great fielder. He has superior speed. But in your estimation, is he really worth keeping for the Dodgers at center field as a starter, the way he hits? You know, 190 to 205?
No, not at all. I mean, it's pathetic to really look at some of the – I mean, I looked at a lineup the other day. And I think that the top average was 246 for a team. And, I mean, how are you supposed to win baseball games that way, right? I mean, I know Mookie's having a great year, like you talked about with Freddie Freeman, who was taught to be able to use, you know, to spread the ball all over the ballpark, right? You can't defend that. So that's what you do. You put these guys in situations. But if they know they're going to keep pulling the ball, then, okay. You know, learn to shoot the ball the other way. But are you going to pay somebody $17-$25 million to hit a .185 and 20 home runs and drive in 40? Really? I mean, is that what you're going to build your teams around now? And that's what I'm saying. The way that the baseball's going, it's just continuing to go. It's on a downward spiral. I mean, even the fans are noticing it. I mean, it's awful, and it's tough because there's a lot of old school guys. You know, that are still playing the game. They're even around the game coaching. It's just, I mean, we can go out and play and do that. Heck, you know, let us come out of retirement and try it and do it. I mean, it's awful to sit here and watch baseball games the way people are swinging.
One player who's been around for a long time, he's had a very good career, is with Arizona for a while, now with the St. Louis Cardinals, is Paul Goldschmidt. He's having the best season of his career. He's 35, 331 or 325 average. Hitting home runs, RBIs. He's in the top three, I think, in all three categories. I don't think he's going to win a triple crown, but it's amazing what he's done in a season where really practically nobody's hitting. He's hit for power, average, and RBIs. He's been fantastic for St. Louis, and it's good that he's getting mentioned this year. He's on a great team, you know, with a very good organization. You know, he played for Arizona for a long time. A lot of people don't really pay that much attention to you. So Paul has been awesome. So has Albert Pujols. Now, Pujols was kind of on his downward trodden scale with Angels the last two or three years he was there. And he was kind of a part-time player last year with the Dodgers, but did well. They loved him in the dugout. It's been amazing what he's done for St. Louis this season. What a pickup. And he's four away from 700 home runs in his career. I think he has 17 home runs on the season. He's just been really on the ball for guys 41 or 42. What has Albert Pujols meant to baseball over his career?
I mean, he's just the way Albert's carried himself. I've known Albert for 20-plus years. We played in the Fall League back in 2000 together. Because the next year he would win Rookie of the Year with St. Louis. Just a humble guy. Goes about his business. You know, not a lot of flash, not a lot of fanfare. Just does his job, and he does it the right way. You see him, I mean, you talked about towards the end of his career, yes. But I think getting back to St. Louis – kind of gave him maybe that last little jolt that he needed to get to maybe get to 700. I mean, well, there's 17 to 20 games left possibly.
Yes.
And if he could do, I mean, it'd be perfect for him to do that, to go out and do that. I'm sure being back around Yachty and Adam Wainwright, guys that he's, you know, had been there for a while, it's kind of rejuvenated him as well. But I mean, you look at him, nothing has changed from day one when he was 19 years old to now. You know, the swing hasn't changed, and he just continued to do his job, you know, and he hasn't done it, and he's done it with not a lot of fanfare. He's just gone out and just been a workhorse for what he's done.
Kevin Manson, my guest on Markman Madden here on Blog Talk Radio. Our number to listen is 347-205-9631. And if you are listening, and I know that you are out there, people, tell some of your friends about the show. We've been having a lot more listeners of late. You know, think about Albert. I was looking at his career stats the other day. It's amazing and just incredible what he did his first 10 years in St. Louis, 10 or 11 years. Every season he hit over 300, and I think he averaged between 35 and 40 home runs a year. And most of those years, he was over 100 RBIs. I think one year he had over 130 RBIs. You look at the stats, they're just mind-boggling. Hey, I think he made a Hall of Fame based on his first 10 or 11 years in St. Louis. Goes to the Angels, has some pretty good years for the next four or five seasons. Then it's kind of a drop-off as he hit maybe 37 years old. So I think he signed a contract when he was about 32 to go to the Angels. But he's had a prolonged career. But his first time at St. Louis, his stats were amazing. He was an MVP. They won the World Series. What he's done, you look at the home runs, the batting average, and the RBIs especially. That guy has been a run producer. And as you said, a super dude in the dugout, not only veteran players, but for younger players.
Yes, he's always been that kind of guy. Even when he was 19 years old, I said playing in the fall league, he was just a student of the game. He had a good personality that got along well with teammates, which is you know, one thing is good, because then it kind of helps you ingrain yourself with the guys around you to respect you. Yeah, I mean, he was 19 years old at that time, so you see that he goes up. He wins Rookie of the Year in 2001. And then I think he proceeds to – they win the World Series in '05.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the next year. So, I mean, done with that, even for that city, is amazing in itself. You know, played every day. I mean, the amount of games he played, see what the average was. He had averaged probably 140-plus a year to do it. So, I mean, he's just been able to sustain it and continue to move through – even injuries and everything else, but to play that many games and to do that, I mean, that's impressive in itself, you know, and continue to still do it now at 42 years old. It's, you know, even for the younger generation now, just to look at that, that's the guys you want to mimic, you know, the guys that just go about it. I mean, you can't mimic an Aaron Judge, right? The man's 6'8". You can't mimic a Frank Howard, a guy who's 6'8", no. What, 295? You can't mimic those yeah. guys. Those guys are just freaks of nature. And that's what I think a lot of people are trying to do. They're trying to be those guys. No, you can't. You know, Albert came up, and Albert was Albert. You see, there's some guys that still do that are just themselves, you know, that extend their careers because they take care of themselves, one. They put in the work, two, and they're able to make people around them better. And that's what Albert's done throughout his career, and that's what you want. That's what you look for in a player.
Kevin, who are some of your key mentors in your baseball career?
You know, to every different levels, you've had managers that have played in the big leagues, which has always been a benefit, I think, as a player, because one, they know what it takes to play on an everyday basis. They know what you go through. They know the grind. One of my best coaches I ever had was Bobby Jones, my manager in AAA. And he was a coach in the big leagues with us in Texas as well. Just a great guy. He was going to tell you the truth. He wasn't going to sugarcoat anything, but he expected it. And if he didn't, he was going to jump your ass and let you know. So, you know, you look to those guys because they've been through it. I mean, hell, the man, he was in Vietnam as well. So he was, you know, the stuff that these guys have been through. Those are the guys you want, the guys that have been in, you know, you talk about you want somebody in your foxhole with you. Those are the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, coming through the minor leagues, different coaches, you learn different pieces from other guys, you know, each way through. So, I mean, there's been a tremendous amount, especially in the minor leagues, of coaches that I've had, just little bits and pieces. And that's what you want. You can't take everything you learn from everybody, but you take little bits and pieces from every coach because, you know, and knowing once you get to that pinnacle, you know, that's why these guys have these thank you lists of, you know, if I forgot somebody, it's just because they've had so many people that have affected their lives. But I think Bobby Jones is probably the biggest one. And actually, he grew up in the town right next to me in Elkton, Maryland, right across I-95.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what's the difference between a AAA player and a major league player? As you know, a lot of guys, play through minor leagues, single, double A, triple A, but most of them never make that jump to the major leagues. And then some will make the jump for a couple of weeks and may never return. Or they make the jump for a couple of weeks, come back, go back and forth, you know, like a two-way player. What's the big difference between AAA baseball and Major League Baseball?
What's between your ears? There's nothing to do with talent or anything else. It has to do with what's between your ears. Are you able to make adjustments pitch to pitch, you know, especially now, the way the game is evolving on that aspect of, you know, as soon as something comes in, the scouting report's right back down to, you know, they're on iPads all the time in the dugout. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, I've played with guys that'll hit, we call them 4A guys. They can hit 400, 500 in AAA, but they can't sniff the big leagues. You know, we were talking about this, I think, a couple weeks ago. Mike Hessman, I think Mike has the most home runs of any minor leaguer. I mean, he was just a AAA journeyman. He hit, I don't even know how many home runs he hit in the minor leagues, but he just could never figure it out in the big leagues. And it's, that's all it is. You know, the speed of the game is pretty much the same. And most guys, you know, your prospects come up. Double A is where you start to separate yourself. You're going to go to the big leagues, you're going from double A, especially your prospects. Triple A is kind of your, like you said, your taxi squad, you know, your veteran guys that are there, arms to come up. But, you know, that's between your ears because some guys just can't hack it mentally.
That's where a lot of the Dodgers bring up a lot of people from AAA back and forth, and many times their pitchers do the rehab for the AAA team. I'm sure that's the case for most Major League Baseball teams. There's a – I don't know if they're AAA anymore. There was a AAA team in Fresno for years, then we had a pandemic, and then I think 1 year it switched to single A, beautiful ballpark where the Grizzlies used to play. They've changed affiliations now. That's in downtown Fresno. And that's a very impressive-looking AAA ballpark to me. We used to have single-A baseball here in Bakersfield for years, a high single-A. And, you know, a lot of Dodger players of the past performed there. I think Eric Karros and I think Garvey performed there, and I think Don Drysdale back in the day. And it was the Bakersfield Dodgers, then the Bakersfield Bears, and then I played in the county league there. And then they had another league that was not affiliated with a Major League Baseball team, sort of like independent. And Salmon Ballpark's still there. I think it was built in 1934. Every All-Star game I played in growing up was there at Salmon Ballpark. I really liked the ballpark as far as the way it's situated, and I was an infielder playing, you know, primarily shortstop and second base. I always got sure hops. The ball came to you quickly, but I liked because I got sure hops there and had a feel of a bigger park. But we had a team probably until, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and the owner just basically sold it, did away with it, because he wanted a new stadium to be built in town. And we've never been able to agree on a new stadium here in Bakersfield. It wasn't pretty good baseball talent here. You know, Fresno has a team, San Jose. There are some teams down south, Adelanto and also in Lancaster. They built ballparks. And then, you know, they say if you build it, they will come. They built ballparks, put a team out there, and they've been kind of flourishing ever since, over the past 15, 20, 25 years, but Bakersfield is without a single-A team. And I thought they should have built another team. I don't know, you could have partially private funding and public funding. There's many places you could put it, whether it's in the west side of town or I think in the southwest, or maybe even the same site where Salmon Ballpark is right now. Just tear down old Salmon Ballpark and build a new one. There's a lot of area around there for parking. The kids still play Junior Baseball Association there. That's kind of in the back. It's by the river. Not in the greatest area of town, but not really bad. And that area is much better in the 60s and 70s, but it has there's a lot of areas just to build another ballpark. It always amazed me that people could not get together and put their ideas and money together and build a new ballpark. And I'm sure they cost a lot more. It would cost a lot more to build a stadium now than it did 20, 25 years ago.
Absolutely. I think I was talking to the owner of the Frisco Rough Riders, which is our AA affiliate, the Rangers AA mm-hmm. affiliate here in Frisco. They had, I think they shut down about 40 teams, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So I'm sure, I mean, I don't know what levels or what happened, but what you're seeing now is more and more are the major league organizations buying it and I think having, you know, sub-owners. So at least the major league clubs can pour the money that they're making into their affiliates and, you know, make it more, I guess what you said, clean it up a little bit to where it's, you know, a little bit nicer as opposed to me. Because some of these ballparks you play in the minor leagues are, I mean, they're older stadiums. I played in Pulaski, Virginia. You know, it was built in the side of the mountain in the south of Blacksburg. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I think they're an independent the league team now. So like I said, I don't even know where these affiliates are nowadays. I know some of them, they try and keep them close. I know here what they would do, most of the time it was through AA, they would run guys from here to the big leagues just for a spot start. But I mean, what if you're in, you know, like you're the Dodgers and your AAA team's in New Orleans, right? You're having to fly somebody.
Well, the Dodgers is in Oklahoma City. They changed 2 years ago. Theirs is in OKC. And it used to be, as you know, for years, Albuquerque, the Albuquerque Dukes. And I know there was a minor league team in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went there 10 years ago. I went to a game. But I don't know if that was the Dodgers then or somebody else. I don't know if it's AAA or AA. But I know that Tulsa has a minor league.
Rockies.
So I was going to ask you, are there fewer minor league baseball teams now than there were 5 years ago?
I think there are. I mean, and I think you're seeing a lot more independent teams pop up to where these minor league teams were. You know, you talked about we had the Fort Worth Cats here. They're not here anymore. We did have an independent team in Grand Prairie, the Air Hogs. I don't know if they're there anymore. But you're seeing other ones pop up in towns that you wouldn't even – now we have one, I think, here in Cleburne, which is an independent team, and they play – I don't even know what league they play in. There's so many now, and I'd be interested to see how many actual ballparks, you know, that were being utilized 2 years ago are just sitting now dormant. You know, I know with some of those teams in the – like Quad Cities in that – was it that Pioneer League? They would be flooded out from all the rain, and they couldn't play on those things for months. You know, so I don't know if teams were moving out of there and doing that. It's just, I think it's just really, I know your leagues that you have, your AA league, the Texas League, I played there, the Florida State League, which is probably the best league in baseball to play in, is a great league. Carolina League is the other A league. I think the Cal League you were talking about. And you have the Southern League and the Eastern League.
California League. It's been around for a long time. Mark McGwire played in that league and set a record for home runs back in the day. Some great players came through the California League. By the way, Mr. Paul Goldschmidt, I do a section baseball final there in Visalia at Rawhide Park, and you see his picture over there. He was a big star in the Cal League probably for 1 year. So, and you look at him now, he's a possible MVP of Major League Baseball. So it just shows that, you know, great players come through the minor league system, the California League, and it's really cool to see a Goldschmidt having such a fine season this year, the best of his career. And, you know, you can still be good in baseball, 35. Other sports is kind of testy. Obviously, you can play quarterback for a long time. But, I remember seeing his pictures there over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, and I knew who he was. And this year he's kind of going over the top as a player, which is great to see. And there's some other players that have played for Visalia over the years and played in the Cal League that have gone on and been stars. So it's really cool. One thing great about, as you know, minor league baseball, Kevin, is that they have fun and sometimes zany promotional days, don't they? A lot of crazy stuff to get people to come during the day. What are some of the craziest promotions you've ever seen going back to your minor league baseball days?
I do remember in Tulsa we had Christmas in July. You have to wear these green and red hats. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's 150 degrees in the humidity.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You're wearing these weird looking hats. I'm trying to think. Most of the other time, though, these teams weren't really affiliated, so they would just kind of, you know, they always had the on-field stuff, really. But the promotions, I can barely remember last week, but trying to think of stuff. I know
So you don't really notice it a lot. You were focused on your craft, on your baseball.
Yeah.
So you weren't actually sitting in the stands. You had to do your own thing. I want to ask you about Tulsa. Didn't they have torrential rain quite a bit when you played there during the summer?
Yes, they did, because we were at the old ballpark, which is over by the fairgrounds. The new ballpark's been there, I think, about 10, 12 years now, which is in downtown. It's really nice. But we were at the old one, which was over there by the – and you could hit them into the I think it was like a QT or something, the parking lot of a little convenience store. They had this giant net over there, and field was pretty small in left field, but you could hit – I think Alex Cabrera used to hit them 500 feet on top of this convenience store over there when he played for El Paso. I think it was El Paso.
Yes.
They even have a team anymore in El Paso.
Well, I remember going back there years ago. My kids were young, and Sierra, my daughter, was going to see a Jonas Brothers concert. And at one time, they were the headliners for Hannah Montana, who became, you know, Miley Cyrus.
Yep.
And then, of course, they became stars and then had their own TV series. And we drove from Tulsa to Norman, Oklahoma. I went there to meet the father of the guy that I was with, a relative, and we talked and we toured the University of Oklahoma. I was amazed by that, and we talked with him for a while. And during that time, Sierra and her mom and her aunt and then her cousin went to see that concert in Oklahoma City. So we went from Tulsa to Norman to Oklahoma City and back. I think most of the time I was driving, it was raining, and sometimes very hard. And I was getting extremely nervous, not used to driving in a lot of rain. Those people are, and this is in the dead summer. I lived in Houston, Texas for just under 3 years, and I found out what it's like to drive in crazy weather where the, you know, the rain just come down so hard. If you walk out in it for 30 seconds, you're going to be drenched. I worked at KUHF on the campus of the University of Houston. So I've always lived in warm areas, except for a short time I was in San Luis Obispo here on the Central Coast. But growing up in Bakersfield, going to Fresno State, living in Houston, I've always been in warm areas. But Houston, of course, was much had much more humidity than Fresno or Bakersfield, and it knew how to rain down there, very much like Tulsa. But the worst place I ever went to as far as humidity was many moons ago, 150 years ago, Acapulco, Mexico. Went there in August, a long time ago, probably in the late 70s, probably 79, and it seemed like I had to take about 4 showers per day. And I remember going out to a nightclub and walking out and still feel like you're drenched. And then people were like jumping into the fountain, and cops came out there. Policia came out there and drove people away. But that was the most icky. Now, Acapulco is a great place, but nobody had AC there at the time. And that was the worst I ever felt as far as from a humidity standpoint, even worse than Houston, Texas, especially during the summer. So those are crazy places. I know the San Antonio Missions, I think, still have a team because I think I have a friend that does their baseball games. He works in that area of the country. Kevin mentioned my guest on Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. I'm Mark Heffernan. Our number, 347-205-9631. I want to ask you about, you have a podcast, Big Head Pod.
Yep.
What is that about? Is it specifically about baseball or all kinds of sports?
All kinds of sports. I'm going to start transitioning into other sports. I grew up playing hockey, so I've always loved hockey. And the podcast came about. They're doing the four major sports. I do the baseball side. Craig Ludwig does this hockey side. Isaiah Stanback and Nate Newton do the football side. Derek Harper does basketball. And it was just some kind of creative idea just to get out and just get on and just hear. People just want to hear some different stories about, you know, like we're talking about now, what it was like in the minor league, what guys think about, you know, how the game's being played today. But I'm going to, you know, want to transition into other stuff, you know, guys that have played multiple sports, you know, that maybe, you know, even actors, anything like that. Because we do a lot of charity stuff here, but I mean, there's charity stuff basically every week. We had our Rangers golf outing today, actually, as well. So, I mean, we're doing stuff all the time and seeing these guys. And it's kind of just time just to get together, you know, where guys can just get together and just hang out and just have, you know, just a good time, no script, nothing else, just having some fun. You know, you try and catch up with guys you haven't seen in God knows how long. You know, you guys are talking about you're in Bakersfield. I haven't been to Bakersfield since Colby Lewis's wedding 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Here, along with George Culver and a few others. Well,
Colby,
you know,
was the first guy to win Pro Bowl.
Yeah, you're in Keller, Texas. What big city are you closest to?
I'm about 20 miles from Fort Worth and about 40 miles from Dallas.
Okay. How's the weather out there at this time of the year?
Actually, today was nice. It's 83 right now. It's cooled off finally. I think it's starting to get into the 80s here. I mean, but usually
we've had tremendously hot weather here over the past 2 weeks. In fact, I think 1 week September was hotter than any weeks in June or July. It seemed like every year we set records here for plus 100 days during the summer. Now I was gone from Bakersfield 7 days, but that was earlier in the summer. And then I was in Modesto for 5 days doing Little League Baseball, kind of a Little League 13-under Pony League World Series. And the 5 days I was in Modesto, the temperature there was in the mid-90s and upper 60s overnight, whereas in Bakersfield it was over 100. But it was a nice little thing. But there was a lot of wasps around the ballpark that I was broadcasting from, and I got a lot of mosquito bites. I'm not sure where they came from, but they were out there. That was kind of crazy. But, yeah, I think it's just cooled down here today. We had a thunderstorm the other night late on Friday night during one of the football games, and the umpires canceled one game with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And my kids went to Liberty High School. I do basketball there and baseball and football from time to time, and I was doing a game on the south part of town, and we didn't have any cancellation of our game, went all the way through. But unfortunately, they were playing the other top team in our section, the central section, Buchanan from Clovis. And Buchanan won the game 35-27, but the entire game was not played. So Liberty people are kind of upset about it. And I told my friend, why don't they just – so he said they were going to postpone for 30 minutes and continue it. And I said, why did they stop it? The referees want to go home. Well, the first week of our season, like mid-August, which I think is too early to play football in this area, is, you know, extremely hot. We've been starting games late for the past 4 weeks, the first 4 weeks of the season. This coming week, things will start on time. It won't be that hot. But I was at a place called Miramonte High School until 12:40 a.m. Now, the first game started, I think they had JV and varsity. The JV game would normally start about 5 o'clock. That day it started about 6:05. And normally the varsity game starts 7:30, 7:35. And that night it started about 9 o'clock varsity. But kids were getting hurt. They were getting nothing serious that I know of. They were getting cramps, blah, blah, blah. So you have an ambulance there at the site. Ambulance comes out to the field, and they look over the wounded player, and takes them a while to drive them off. You have to wait for another ambulance to show up. Now, I'm wondering exactly when they called the other ambulance, because there were other games going on at the time. And so it seemed like it took 45 minutes for the second ambulance to come. So players are, they're competing for a while. They got to sit around for a while and sit down. Then they have to kind of loosen up, blah, blah, blah. So the second ambulance comes. Then later in the night, somebody else got hurt. So that ambulance did their thing. Then they had to wait for another ambulance. So finally, the varsity game was not over until 12:40 or 12:45. A lot of people are saying that's kind of goofy because the curfew for kids, whether they're playing or not in the stands, is like 10 o'clock. So a lot of these kids were out until 12:30, 12:40. They were still at the game. Now, the person in the press box sitting next to me fell asleep. But the guy that was running the scoreboard, he was awake, and the girl he was with was fine. So that was really odd. Now, I had a long night a few years ago, a game at North High in Bakersfield, and it probably went until about 12:30. Same scenario, excessive heat wave, so you start the games late. And I think somebody from the stands had heat stroke or whatever like that. So the ambulance came out, but it takes a long time for the second ambulance to replace the ambulance. But I think about my game that I did at Miramonte, all the other games were over with probably at the latest by 11:30. So no other ambulances were being used at that time. And I asked the athletic director, I texted him, I said, why is it taking so long for this other ambulance to come here? No other games are going on right now, because I knew, because I was checking some of the scores. Now, everything was later. But this week, we'll probably be over with our games by 10:15, which would be a lot better. Because I do some youth football on Saturdays, and some of those games start at 8 or 9 a.m. And so a lot of things with me going on at the same time. But I wanted to ask you about baseball. As we close our program today, Yankees have kind of struggled the second half of the year. They will probably be the second seed in the American League behind Houston. So you have the Yanks, the Guardians, and the Astros leading their divisions. Yanks 85 and 56 in the East. Guardians in the Central 73 and 65. And the Astros at 90 and 50. And the Astros have kind of had the Yankees number over the past couple of years. I look for those teams to be, obviously, they'll be in the playoffs. And then a fight between Rays and Jays in the East, and I don't think the White Sox are going to make it. The Mariners should make it. Do you have a favorite in the American League? Who do you think will represent the American League in a World Series?
Gosh, they don't even have leagues anymore, right? They got a universal DH, so they shouldn't even have leagues anymore. One. that just baffles the crap out of me. One. I still have a hard time saying Guardians. I don't even use that name anymore. I'll just say Cleveland.
I know.
It's tough. Sitting here trying to pinpoint who's going to be the best. You look at the records. Okay, Houston. All right, you say Houston, but I don't even know how the playoffs are even going to be set this year. Are they going to? I know they have an extra wild card. Are they going to do five and then seven or whatever? How are they? I don't even know how they're even set up. Right. So if you're playing a three game with these wild card teams, and then they got to go play.
The team with the best record has a bye in the first round, so most likely the Astros and Dodgers will have a bye in the first round from both respective leagues. The number one seed has a bye. Yeah, I really can't explain it to you. I've seen it, and I've mentioned it on the air, but I can't explain it. I just know that the top teams have a bye in the first round. But, you don't have to pick a team. I really can't pick a team because, as you know, the Dodgers have had some trouble in the postseason in the past. They won a World Series in a short season. And they lost to the Astros, and most Dodger fans hate Houston. They can't get over it, the cheating thing. Yeah. The thing about Houston is that they have a good manager in Dusty Baker. you know, former Dodgers. He's managed a lot of teams, the Washington Nationals, San Francisco, et cetera. And they lost Springer to Toronto a few years ago. Correa went to Minnesota. They just have great talent on that team and pretty good pitching. They have the old guy, man, you know, Mr. V, 39 years old, throwing bullets. So the Astros are always going to be tough, and they're very good in the clutch, and they knock out the Yankees a lot in the playoffs. But I think, I really do think those teams will meet in the ALCS. The team I think that has a chance to spoil that would be Tampa Bay Rays. We don't spend a lot of money on players, but they're always very competitive. But my pick was between the Yankees and Astros, or possibly the Rays, kind of spoiling the party. As of now, I couldn't pick a winner. In the Yellow League, you know, I'm a Dodger fan, so they've had a lot of injuries that their pitchers need to have Gonsolin back. I think he's thrown a bullpen session along with Gratterall and their other injured pitcher. But they've had a lot of injuries this year. The guy's got to be healthy, and they got to pitch well when a playoff start. But for the Dodgers, the playoffs probably won't start until maybe October 9th or 10th. I think the regular season ends October 5th, so they have plenty of time for that. But we'll see. You know, the Dodgers, strong Mets have great pitching, but DeGrom and Scherzer have to be healthy. Scherzer's had problems with his arm and his health over the second part of the year. DeGrom looks amazing. He's awesome. But he's had, you know, a lot of injuries throughout his career. Cards are a very solid club. They could spoil the party. People would say, well, the Dodgers and Mets are going to meet in the NLCS, but the Cardinals could spoil that party. So could the Atlanta Braves. They won it all last year. They played the Dodgers the year before, the National League Championship in five games. A lot of good young talent. A lot of guys signed up for the next two or three years for Atlanta. Pretty good pitching. So, yeah, as you know, it's just about getting hot at the right time. A lot of these teams are capable of winning it all. But as you know, they got to be consistent in their series and have to have excellent pitching and very good defense and play small ball a little bit. Move runners up. Play for that one run at a time. Not very often you can win games 10-3 and 9-4 in the playoffs.
You're going to see, I think, a lot higher scoring probably in the playoffs because, one, the pitchers aren't going to hit anymore.
Okay.
Right? They're not doing that. They're going to save, so they're not going to be tired. But it's just going to be interesting to see because I remember, I think it was 06, was that I got traded to Milwaukee. We ended up, and I think St. Louis backed into the playoffs as a wild card team. That was the year that Albert carried them. They ended up winning the World Series that year. They went to San Diego, I think, the first beat San Diego, and ended up beating the Tigers, I think, in the World Series that year, and they backed in. So, you know, you always say you want to go in on a hot streak. They lost to us, but they backed into the playoffs. So, I mean, you look at it and go, you know, what's going to happen? You're going to have to wait till that last week to see. You know, you talk about injuries. The biggest thing is, you know, are the Mets going to have Scherzer and DeGrom, you know, ready to go. But can you get away with two starters, really? Two, three? I mean, it all depends. That's the biggest thing. If you're going to go seven games, are these guys going to be able to, you know, sustain it? Usually when you get to that, you've got three starters. Is it Walker Buehler? Isn't he hurt?
Yeah, he's out for another year. He missed the rest of the year. He's not going to pitch next year. And my thing about Walker Buehler, you know, they thought he'd be the ace of the staff. And think about him, what will he be like when he comes back? I mean, he could be shot. He's had a lot of arm problems in his very young career. He's about 27 now, and he misses another year. What will he be like when he comes back? The fastball has been dropping and just did not have a control. It started late last year. He didn't pitch well in the playoffs, which is unusual for him. The Giants, one game I saw, had six consecutive hits late last year. And then this year he had a one game where he pitched a complete game, the only complete game by a Dodger pitcher this year. And then he just kind of struggled, giving up the gopher ball, struggling. Guys were in his fastball, aiming it too high, and then he got hurt. They knew something was wrong, but we don't know what Walker Buehler would be like when he comes back. God, not until like 2024. It's crazy.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, you look at it the way – you know, when I was playing, 20 wins was the standard, right? That's what you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, 30, 40 years ago, it was 30 wins. What's it going to be in 10 years? 5 wins? 10 wins? To get to, I mean, these guys aren't going more than 4 or 5 innings.
And a lot of pitchers get hurt during the course of the year. I mean, Gonsolin had a chance to win 20, but he's been in the mend for the last couple of weeks. He's 16-1. I thought for sure he'd hit 19 or 20. Last year, Julio Urias was 20-3, but he had more run support last year, Julio. He's actually pitched better this year. He's 16-7. But at one point this year, Julio was 3-6. And I'd say four of those losses, they didn't score a run for him. He pitched like five or six, and they get beat 1-0 or 2-1. This guy's just been amazing, his consistency. 35-10 over the past 2 years for Julio, the best record by any pitcher in Major League Baseball. Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of publicity. They always, you know, in the Cy Young voting last year, they just kind of like blew him off. But I know as a Dodger fan and what he did as a relief pitcher in 2020, gentlemen, he's very good in the clutch, and he's very consistent. He's going to give you a solid six or seven innings. Doesn't give up too many home run balls. He's just under control very well. The other guys, Anderson doesn't look very impressive, but he's 14-3. It's been a career season for him. Kershaw, if he pitches, will probably go four or five innings. I don't know if Dustin May will be a starter in the playoffs. I look at him to be more of a long-range reliever. Been a little bit up and down coming back. He didn't pitch for over a year. So it's kind of crazy. At any rate, this is going to conclude our show. I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you, Mr. Kevin Mensch. How can people get in contact with you?
Just Kevin Mensch 28 on Instagram, on TikTok. I haven't figured out the TikTok part. I don't do too much dancing. and then it's Instagram and Twitter. We're on there all the time. And then the show, the Big Head Pod, is just on dubtalk.com. It's called the Big Head Pod. So we're on there weekly, getting on there listening. Like I said, I'm always up for suggestions, people, what people want to hear and talk about too. That's another thing. I like to be interactive with fans as opposed to just people just want to hear something, you know, something that an off-the-wall question, because we always get all kinds of off-the-wall questions. I wish I could remember half of the ones that I get sometimes, or some of the stuff that I've been asked to autograph, you know, throughout the years.
Kevin,
I would just kept an inventory of it.
You know, I want to ask you one question before you go. It's kind of a funny question. Did it ever bother you that you did not have 100 home runs in your career? Shows here you had 89. I'm kidding.
Heck, who knows now that, you know, nowadays it would have been a little bit different, you know, but it's all in hindsight. You know, a lot of guys hang on to baseball to hang on. When I got out of baseball, I took a step back for a year. You know, I just kind of let the dust settle and was able to come, you know, just to come back and start doing stuff here locally around for the Rangers and doing your thing. Some guys just hang on to hang on, you know. They'll play four or five more years of Triple-A baseball hoping for a little bit, you know, another taste of, you know, the big leagues. I didn't play baseball, you know, I just played because it was fun. When it became a job, that's when I wanted to get out, right? That's what people don't understand, you know. We're here for the fans. They're not here for us. And I think that's been lost in the shuffle these last few years. You know, the fans, I mean, Cal Ripken, I mean, I grew up, you know, 30 miles from Baltimore going, you know, watching Cal, but he would take the time out of his day and go sign anything and everything he could. And I played with guys who could give a rat's ass about anybody else and sign anything. Hell, I've even played with guys who've had other people sign their autograph.
Oh, that's cool. Well,
yeah.
Kevin, thanks a lot for being on Markman Madison. God bless you and congratulations on your great career in the Major League Baseball and what you're doing right now.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Anytime you guys want to talk some more, just feel free to reach out.
Hey, you got a great job today, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. You got it.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right.
Kevin Mensch on Markman Madison on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. My email sites are markheff20@gmail.com. That's markheff20@gmail.com or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com, sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Kevin, great guy, 8 years in Major League Baseball, some great stories. Big Head Podcast he has called Big Head Pod in Keller, Texas. There in the heart of Texas, 89 homers in his career, 331 RBIs. Went to St. Mark's High School. What a great name for high school. And the University of Delaware, Fighting Blue Hens. Just love it. The Fighting Blue Hens. My name is Mark Heffernan, and please join me next Monday at 5 o'clock Pacific time right here for MMM, Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening today. And I'll catch up with you next week. Take care and good night from Central California. Bye.